Hello, my name is Rob Bennett. I'm the author of a book entitled Passion Saving, The Path to Plentiful Free Time and Soul-Satisfying Work. I'm also the publisher of the PassionSaving.com website, and I'm working on a second book entitled Investing for Humans, How to Get What Works on Paper to Work in Real Life. This is the 17th podcast I've recorded. I'm recording it in September of 2008. And the title of this one is Passive Investing is the Most Emotional Investing Approach of All, Part 4. This four-part series on the negative side of passive investing is based on a list of 35 alarm bells that I wrote down when I was sitting through my boys' Little League game last week. And what I was trying to do is, I am a severe critic of the passive investing model of understanding how stock investing works. I believe that passive investing is responsible for all the problems with stock investing that we are seeing today, pretty much all. And I advocate a shift to an approach that I call rational investing, which is the opposite of passive investing. Passive investing is the approach that says you do not need to change your stock allocation when prices get wildly out of control. And rational investing says just the opposite, that you must change your stock allocation when prices get wildly out of control if you want to have any hope of being a successful long-term investor. So there's really only one distinction between the passive investing model and the rational investing model, but that one distinction changes everything. It's a fundamental point, and if you choose to go one way down the road, the passive route, which is to ignore the effect of valuations on long-term returns, you end up getting in all kinds of trouble. You end up doing all kinds of crazy things emotionally, and you know, you develop a resistance to looking at how stocks have always performed in the past, and on and on. And if you choose the other route, as time goes on, you become more and more confident of your investing strategies because your strategies make sense. And instead of becoming defensive about them, you become increasingly confident about them. So that's the idea behind this series. And just briefly, in the parts 1 through 3, I went through the first 21 of these 35 alarm bells. And the main points that were brought out were, 1, that passive investing, the idea that you do not need to respond to changes in valuation by making adjustments in your stock allocation, defies common sense. Common sense tells us that when things are priced high, they don't offer a good long-term value proposition. So, since that's true with everything we buy, it's true with houses and cars and comic books and bananas, it must be true with stocks as well. Advocates of the passive investing model say no. They say stocks are the only asset class where price doesn't matter. You can buy them and you don't need to worry about the price. And that simply makes no sense. 2, we have historical data. We can check what our common sense tells us. We have historical data going back to 1870. The historical data tells us that, sure enough, just what our common sense tells us must be true has always been true in the real world for 138 years. There has never been a time when passive investing has worked as a long-term strategy. There has never been a time when it was not a good idea to adjust your stock allocation when prices got wildly out of control. In fact, in the 3 cases in history when prices got wildly out of control, got to levels somewhat similar to what we've seen in recent years, although not nearly as high, the average price drop was 68%. Stock investors were crushed in the aftermath of those earlier uses of the passive investing model, or what it went by other names at earlier times. It's essentially the proper thing to call it would be the emotional investing model, the denial of common sense, the denial of human reason. 3, we've seen a number of big name experts come out and tell us about flaws in the passive investing model that they have discovered. And yet we've also seen many of these big name experts reluctant to state clearly and firmly and boldly that the passive investing model has failed. In other words, many investors are aware that this model has been discredited and is in the process of tumbling to the ground, but yet they hesitate to say so clearly. And the obvious implication is that, again, passive investing is a highly emotional model. And if they lay their cards on the table, if they say plainly what they know, they're going to get a lot of negative feedback from investors who have gotten emotionally caught up in the passive investing model. And it, as Scott Burns put it, do not want to know the realities. Scott Burns, in talking about the findings of the New School safe withdrawal rate researchers, said, the reason you don't hear about this much in the media is that it is information people do not want to know. That's very, very disturbing to anyone taking an objective look at what sort of stock strategies might work and what strategies are doomed to failure. And fourth, we've seen the reaction of dogmatic passive investing advocates. And the reaction when their views are questioned is intensely emotional. We see defensiveness, we see indifference, we see confusion, we see anger, we see abusive posting. Never have I seen in 6 years of following this, studying this closely on a day-to-day basis, have I ever seen an advocate of passive investing make a reasoned argument for why they think it's a good idea not to change your stock allocation when prices get wildly out of control. The only argument I have ever heard is that they don't believe it's possible to do so. They will say market timing is not possible. But of course, we have done research in the retire early community and in the indexing discussion board community, and we have found that while it is true that short-term timing does not work, there's a great deal of evidence supporting that idea. There is zero evidence that long-term timing doesn't work. In fact, the same historical data that shows that short-term timing does not work shows that long-term timing has always worked. So that argument does not stand up. And outside of just repeating that argument over and over and over again, timing doesn't work, timing doesn't work, timing doesn't work, outside of that, I have never heard any rational argument for why investors should not adjust their stock allocations when prices get out of control. So I will continue in this podcast to go through the remaining alarm bells, telling us why, telling me. These alarm bells are how I learned that passive investing is so flawed, and I'm just passing them along to you so that you have some idea of why it is I feel so strongly on this question. That I started out like most other middle-class investors thinking, if all these big-name experts endorse passive investing, there must be something to it. They can't all be wrong, can they? And today, I believe absolutely they are all wrong. Absolutely. And of course, there are some big-name experts like Robert Shiller and Rob Arnott and Andrew Smithers and Ed Easterling and Cliff Asness. There are some big-name experts who have been aware of the flaws of the passive investing model for some time, but we rarely hear about them in the mainstream media. So today I will go through the remaining alarm bells. Alarm bell number 22. The failure of Money Magazine to respond to my email on concerning the formation of the Bogleheads board. Now, what this is about is there was a discussion board I posted on that at one time I think was the most exciting discussion board on planet Internet, and that was the Vanguard Diehards board. And that board ran into trouble. It had a history. It was a very exciting board and a very successful board. And it was run at the Morningstar.com site. And going back a long time, there's always been some abusive posting at that board when passive investing was questioned. But the history of the board was to allow the abusive posting, which Morningstar should not have permitted. They never should have permitted abusive posting. The posting rules at the board do not permit such tactics to crush debate. So action should have been taken a long, long time ago against the passive investing dogmatists, the ones who were engaging in abusive posting, to shut down debate. But Morningstar had never taken action. But on the other side of the story was that Morningstar did tolerate honest posting from the other side. So while those who posted honestly on the problems of the passive investing model, while they were intimidated, to be sure, they were able to state their views. So people were able to hear both sides. And a number of the people who made it a practice to point out the flaws of the passive investing model were extremely popular posters. Because a lot of the people in the middle who follow passive investing but are not dogmatic love hearing the other side of the story. And we've seen this at every board at which these discussions have been held. The majority of middle-class investors want to know the realities, but there's a small group of intensely dogmatic passive investors who cannot tolerate the idea of the realities being voiced publicly. But that sort of conflict and friction that was going on in that board came to a head when I started posting there in July of 2005, and I began posting on the safe withdrawal rate findings at the Retire Early community. And I think the real problem here is that I used historical data. I wasn't just giving viewpoints saying that passive investing did not work. I was using historical data. And the passive investing advocates like to think that they are the ones who have the historical data on their side. And the reality, of course, is that if you can use data to say just about anything. And if you set the study up in such a way that it has to show that passive investing works, then surprise, surprise, you can show that passive investing works. But if you set the study up in a more reasonable way, it shows that passive investing has never worked. It shows that valuations have always affected long-term returns. So I began posting on these safe withdrawal rate studies. And of course, the safe withdrawal rate studies are also the weakest point in the passive investing model, because the safe withdrawal rate studies are the studies that are used to advise us on how to put together our retirement plans. So if the passive investing model gets its retirement advice wrong, then it's really gotten everything wrong, because that's the most critical thing. That's really what we're aiming at when we invest our money. We're trying to provide for our retirement. So if the retirement numbers are way off, then the model has failed. And so in these two ways, what I was posting represented a major threat to the passive investing dogmatist. So what happened is the smear campaigns went into overdrive, and Morningstar, to its credit, did not. There were many requests that honest posting be banned, and Morningstar did not go along for a long, long time. And then what ultimately happened is Mel Lindauer, who was sort of considered the leader of the abusive group, they set up a new board, and they urged everyone to abandon the Vanguard Diehards board, and many people did. And then Morningstar, unfortunately, elected. If Morningstar at that time had just said, now that the abusive people are gone, we're gonna rebuild this board, and it's gonna be a board where people can openly discuss the realities of stock investing, that board would have taken off like a shot. That board would be bigger than the Bogleheads board today, I am absolutely sure. But instead, unfortunately, Morningstar took just the opposite tact. And what Morningstar did was, at that point, say, we're going to ban, or at least they made clear that they had done this. They didn't say it. They never say it. But they banned honest posting. They said any poster who insists on reporting accurately what the historical data says will be banned here. We will not allow it. We will allow smear campaigns against them. We will not allow them to respond to questioning or anything of that type. And several of the leading figures were banned, and that included me, but it also included people like Mike Rolepsis, who was one of the most popular posters ever in the history of the board, John Walter Russell, John D. Craig, and everyone else, of course, understood that if they went over that line and they started pointing out the flaws in the passive investing model, that they were going to be banned as well. So that board has essentially disintegrated. There's a small number who post there today. But Money Magazine ran an article not too long ago. I think it was December, might have been December of last year, on, I believe it was a cover article, Resources on the Internet for Investors and People Interested in Personal Finance. And they gave a recommendation to for the Bogleheads discussion board. The Bogleheads, this is the board that the people who left the Vanguard Diehards board built, the abusive group. And of course, most of the posters there are not abusive. It's just the leaders. But, you know, 80-90% of the board are just interested in learning about investing. But you have this group at the top who are highly abusive if you challenge the passive investing model. And so now they're in total control because they don't have Morningstar looking over their shoulder. They make the decisions themselves. And money, recommended this board. And that, of course, caused their numbers. Their numbers were already extremely, extremely high. They had huge participation. And money, getting linked to in money, just sent it into overdrive. But the reporter at Money had asked on the discussion board for stories of people who had benefited from the board. And I wrote him and told him about the history, about the abuse of posting and so forth. And he just ignored the email. I never received any response. And, you know, I take that as a sign that passive investing is a highly emotional approach to investing, because I think it's a strange reaction. You know, the reporter is obviously free to choose to write about what he wants to write about, but to have the lead investing board on the internet destroyed tells you something. It tells you something about the emotions behind this passive investing model. Why would these posters destroy such a successful discussion board? And why would they ban honest posting on safe withdrawal rates and other valuation topics when they were founding a new one? And why would so many posters in that community be reluctant to speak up? We allow honest posting on all sorts of issues on the internet. On baseball, you know, people go to baseball discussion boards and talk about, you know, some will say the Cubs are better and some will say the Phillies are better. On politics, there are boards where there are websites that support one candidate, and then there are other websites that support another candidate. On books, there are people who say a book is good, people who say the book is bad. Why is investing so different? Why is it that when we are discussing the dominant model of how stock investing works of today, passive investing, that we cannot point out the flaws? Why does the First Amendment not apply to the internet and on investing questions? And I just find that remarkable. I find it incredible. If somebody had told me that this is how it worked back in April of 2002, I would have said they were out of their mind. I would have said it's impossible. And yet I've experienced it, not just on that one board. I've experienced it numerous places. But there's no question that it applies at that board. That's probably the most dogmatic board I've ever seen. While it's a wonderful board, there's wonderful material that appears there and very smart people that comprise the board. I think that board has the potential to change the history of investing, because there are things you can learn on a discussion board that you can't learn through any other communications medium. So I certainly don't fault Money for linking to the board, but I don't understand the decision not to explain the background. If they did not have room in that article to explain the background, I would think it would make a great separate article. It would make a great cover story for Money. You know, how we learn about the emotional side of investing by seeing what happens when popular investing strategies are questioned on discussion boards. You know, that's a major piece of journalism. That's a major advance in our understanding of how investing works that simply wasn't possible in earlier times before the internet. So, I take that as a sign that I don't know what was going through the reporter's head, but either, you know, he's into passive investing himself and can't bear to see it questioned, or he can't bear to, you know, he's sort of embarrassed for the people who engaged in abusive posting and feels that, you know, it shouldn't be brought out. It's sort of this ugly, nasty thing. And the fact that it's going to cost people their retirements just doesn't matter. Or, you know, I don't know what. It may just be that he doesn't feel that these emotional issues belong in an investing magazine. And I couldn't possibly disagree more. My experience is that in talking with thousands and thousands of middle-class investors is that investing is 70% an emotional endeavor and only 30% an intellectual endeavor. So to ignore the emotional side of the equation is to ignore the most important issues that affect investing success. And if that's what the reporter believes, I think it would be fair to say he's been influenced by the passive investing model to think that. So I see that as a sign that passive investing is the most emotional investing approach of all. Item number 23, and this is a related item, the failure of Index Universe to run my article on valuation-informed indexing. Now, the history here is indexuniverse.com is a website that obviously deals with indexing strategies. And I am a big proponent of indexing. I am not at all a proponent of the passive approach to indexing, which is the conventional approach to indexing, the approach advocated by John Bogle. I advocate something called valuation-informed indexing, an approach to indexing in which the investor changes his stock allocation. When prices get very high, he lowers his stock allocation a bit, and when prices get low, he increases his stock allocation a bit. And the publisher of that website, I believe his name is Jim Wyant, he wrote a blog entry about me. It was sort of funny. He I think it was called "What Is It with Guys Named Rob?" And he was comparing me to Rob Arnott. Rob Arnott, the editor of the Financial Analyst Journal, has said some things that these conventional passive investors, take great objection to. And then he was saying, well, along comes another guy named Rob, and he's also stirring up trouble, you know, among this passive investing community. And, I thought that was fine. That was all good-natured. And I wrote an email to Jim, and I said, you know, Jim, I'd be happy to write an article for your website on valuation-informed indexing. Are you interested? He said, oh, definitely. You know, he said, just send it along. And I sent it along. And Jim got it, and he says, boy, he says, you know, I don't understand. What is all the fuss about? This is all just common sense. What, you know, why are these people so crazy abusive? What's the problem? And so he said, you know, he didn't say he was going to publish the article, but he certainly sounded like it. And he said, I need to run it through my editorial staff. He sent it to his editorial guy. And the editorial guy asked some questions, and I responded to the questions. And, you know, as time went on, it was clear that the editorial guy was dragging his feet. He did not want to publish this article, no way, no how. And it didn't even go into any of the issues with Lindauer or any of the abusive stuff. It was just a description of what the historical data says about valuation-informed indexing. Just, you know, I dealt with the substance rather than getting into this process stuff, which I think is very important, but which I understand is very controversial. So I was trying to hold off on that. And ultimately, it became clear. The guy in editorial, he felt, I don't want to say what was in his mind, but, I think reading between the lines, it was clear that he wanted to have a relationship with people aligned with the Bogleheads. There's even a writer on the staff there who used to write for the Bogleheads. And they've connected the sites, you know, they sort of have a relationship today. And, he was just saying, he said, Rob, I have editorial standards that I apply to every other article. I can't apply them to your article. I have to make up new standards because, you know, he didn't really say why, but the implication was, if I applied my usual editorial standards, I would run your article. If I run your article, the Bogleheads are going to look awful. You know, why did they have all these smear campaigns? Why did they engage in all this nastiness? So he felt he couldn't run the article. And, he just sort of gave silly explanations of why. And, but again, you know, something it shows is that passive investing is popular. Okay. This I do not argue. It's extremely popular. But popularity should not mean that you cannot be questioned. I was very popular at Motley Fool when I was posting about saving, the material that went into my book on saving. I was extremely popular. And I got to a point where I was sort of annoyed by it. I mean, I'm grateful, obviously, when people say kind things, but I got to a point where I felt people are not really reading my stuff. They're just seeing my name and applauding, you know? And I want to learn. The reason I love discussion boards is you learn through this back and forth because there are people that applaud you and that makes you feel good. And I like that. I'm not saying different. But I like it when people challenge me because then my knowledge goes up a notch Because either their challenge shows that I had something wrong, which is a great benefit to me, or the other alternative is I am able to respond to their challenge, which means I understand my position better than I did before. But boy, do the passive investing dogmatist ever play it the other way. They don't want to be questioned no way, no how. And, you know, Index Universe should run articles on indexing, and valuation-informed indexing is obviously a huge development in the indexing field. It's an entire new branch of indexing. And this, you know, the publisher was interested, but they can't run it because they've got a problem, because the you know, there's this other site where the people are so dogmatic and so abusive that they simply can't allow descriptions of other approaches to be anywhere on the internet. So they use their power to shut that sort of thing down. And I think it's shameful. I think they're hurting their readership. And I think it reflects poorly on passive investing. It reflects extremely poorly. It reveals it as an extremely emotional approach to investing. Number 24, again, is similar. The failure of the Financial Webring Forum to offer any explanation for its banning on honest posting on passive investing. The Financial Webring Forum, it was the same story. You know, the same story gets played out over and over again. But at the Financial Webring Forum, there was an odd element to it in that there's a guy there who's a part owner. I believe he owns 25% of the Financial Webring Forum. His name is Norbert Schenkler, I believe. And he's a highly abusive poster. I've run into him on several boards. But you know, he did something very odd. Norbert took the data, the historical data, and created a graphic where it shows lines for how the conventional approach to buy and hold has worked historically versus how valuation-informed indexing has worked historically. And it showed that valuation-informed indexing is superior. And, you know, that sure wasn't abusive. You know, that was fair enough. And, you know, he posted this. And I wasn't even participating at the board. You know, Norbert just did this on his own. And I found out about it, and I thought, well, that's sort of an invitation for me to go over there. So I went over there, and I received a very positive, warm response, as I have everywhere I've posted, until the abusive posters enter the discussions. So on one hand, you know, you have to say Financial Webring Forum appeared to be open to this. You know, but then as the discussions continued, they felt a need to shut it down. They felt that people were forming doubts about the passive investing model, which they advocate. Norbert certainly advocates it, and it was clear that other owners also advocated it. And they wanted to shut it down. And one of the crazy things they did was, you know, this first thread where he had the graphic, you know, it grown into a long discussion. And, you know, people were just, you know, they were saying, this is fascinating, this is great stuff. And I was trying very hard to avoid any friction, you know, so instead of saying such and such is so, I would say, I believe, you know, I believe that the historical data says such and such, or I believe that changing your stock allocation when prices get out of control is a better approach. Because, you know, who can say that you're wrong if you add the words, I believe? Everyone's entitled to their own beliefs. And, you know, so They had to find a way to shut it down, and there was nothing in the thread that they could point to. So they said, "Oh, Rob, we're deleting this thread because you said the words I believe, and if you say you believe, you're not talking about investing. Investing is a pure science, you know, it's 100% science, and you're saying you believe. You're bringing astrology into it. You know, it's not science anymore." And of course, this is a pathetic joke. And I presume that everybody who saw the thread knew it was a pathetic joke, but they also knew that the owners of the site were not going to tolerate any questioning of the passive investing model. And so, you know, if I saw this happen at one community, you could say, well, they're just outlier personalities there. They're just weird. You know, they're odd. But it's not one. It's not one. We've seen this at Motley Fool. We've seen it at Morningstar. We've seen it at Financial Webring Forum. We've seen it at Early Retirement Forum. You know, we've seen it in numerous places. We've always seen lots of people wanting to learn. That's a common thread. But we've also always seen these dogmatic passive investing advocates who are completely incapable of engaging in reasoned discussion. So again, another sign that passive investing is a highly emotional approach. And of course, you know, as the way it works is that no one of these 35 items caused me to be as strong in my opposition to passive investing as I am today. Each of them made me a little stronger. They confirmed. What happens is you start with one thing and you think that's right, but you're not 100% sure. And then the second thing and the third thing and the fourth thing, and by the time you've hit the 35th thing, you know, you're sure. You're like, this passive investing stuff is bad news. Item 25. Claims that passive investing is science combined with the rejection of questioning of passive investing. Well, I've described that at the Financial Webbring Forum. The common thing you hear from passive investors is that it's science, you know, which means it's beyond question. There was a guy just recently at the Bogleheads Forum, bogleheads.org, who said, you know, the stocks have been falling, financial crisis, all this thing. And he says, maybe we're too dogmatic. Maybe we should open this board up to some other viewpoints, you know, so that, you know, we don't go over a cliff. And, you know, Taylor Larimore, co-author of The Bogleheads Guide to Investing, jumps in and says, oh, no, no, no. What makes our approach different? We don't have to allow questioning. What makes our approach different is the academic literature supports us. You know, studies. We have studies. And, of course, that's nonsense. There are studies that support passive investing, hundreds of them. But there are also lots and lots and lots of studies that say passive investing doesn't hold up to scrutiny. There's studies on both sides. So, you know, studies doesn't settle it. The fact that a study says something, a study is science, it's evidence, it's a type of science, but the fact that one study says something, or even that 100 studies says something, doesn't prove it. Science is a quest for truth. So if you have 100 studies and they all were set up with a certain methodology, and then one study comes along and identifies the flaw in that methodology, well, then science goes in a new direction. So, you know, that's what the passive investing advocates should be doing. If they were scientific, they would be looking for the weaknesses in their case, and they're not. It's pseudoscience. It's pretend science. They point to studies, but they only point to the studies that support them. They have no interest in discovering the realities. Their desire is to make a case. It's, you know, they use science the way a lawyer would use science in a legal case. You know, the lawyer for one side isn't going to present the other side of the case. He's just hammering away. He's trying to pressure you into believing, you know, taking one particular point of view. That's how the passive investing enthusiasts operate. That's emotional. Lawsuits are not they're a quest for truth, I hope, in an ultimate sense, but they're not a quest for truth. The defense lawyer is not involved in a quest for truth, and the prosecutor is not involved in a quest for truth. The prosecutor more than the defense attorney, because the prosecutor should not be taking a case if he doesn't believe it's right. But, you know, each side is presenting their side. They're not presenting the other attorney's case. And the passive investing enthusiasts have no interest in presenting the other side or even considering it. And they should. Their own money is at stake. So they should care about the other side. Except for the fact that it's a highly emotional approach. And once you get wrapped up in it, all you want to hear is that the path you have gone down is the right path. You don't want to change paths. You just want to hear that you're right. And that ain't science. Not in my book. Item 26. Pervasive dogmatism. I've talked about this so much, I think, in the discussion of other alarm bells, that I don't need to say anything more about it. But passive investing is, I do not believe that all passive investors are dogmatic. I believe that the vast majority are not. The vast majority are just people. They're just normal people. And you know, 80% of these communities are people who believe in passive investing because a lot of experts have told them it's the way to go, and they trust those people, and that's really all there is to it. There's nothing deeper going on. They love to hear the other side of the story. These are the people who respond positively to what I say, the 80%. But the 20%, pervasive dogmatism. And the 80% are not dogmatic, but they are cowed. You know, they feel that they can't challenge the dogmatics, so they back down. When the dogmatism appears, when the abusive stuff appears, they back down. So that's the dynamic that I see taking place over and over again. Item 27, alarm bell number 27, the failure of John Bogle to act in defense of the Vanguard Diehards community. Well, this is a big one for me. John Bogle is a hero of mine. It was John Bogle's book in which I first learned the foundation of the rational investing approach. Really what rational investing is, 60% of it are ideas borrowed from John Bogle. All the stuff that I think has made him so popular. A lot of John Bogle's ideas are brilliant. He is truly a common sense investor. But 40% of what he puts forward is this passive investing model. John Bogle clearly supports passive investing. He's the lead proponent of it. So what rational investing is the 60% of Bogle that makes sense. The 40% passive investing is X'd out entirely and replaced with what we learn from looking at the historical stock return data. So it's replaced with a rational, objective source of information instead of the highly emotional passive investing approach. Now, so Bogle and I are not in complete agreement, but we're in large agreement. We agree on many, many things. And Bogle, I believe, absolutely cares about the Vanguard Diehards discussion board community. It's impossible for me to believe otherwise. He spent a lot of time building it up. He people there love him. It's they say so all the time, and he's grateful to them, and he properly, says that they touch him. They touch his heart. And that's real, and that's good. But that community was suffering for close to 2 years. It's impossible that Bogle doesn't know about it. He said at one time that he visited that board on a weekly basis. At one time, it was a thriving board, hundreds of threads a day. Now it's been virtually burned to the ground. It's impossible that Bogle didn't notice that that was taking place. And if he checked out any of the threads, he would have seen two things. An extremely exciting discussion going on, on both sides. I mean, I obviously think my side is right, but there were people on the other side that made good points. Not the abusive people, but there were people on the other side that made good points. So you had a lively, informed, very smart people, a lively, informed discussion of a very important issue that Bogle certainly could learn from. You know, Bogle doesn't know it all. He should have been proud of that. And then on the other side, you had this vicious, ugly smear campaign stuff. And he sits on his hands. He does nothing. I don't even know that I can offer an explanation for that today. It's something I puzzle about. When I can't solve a riddle, I puzzle about it and puzzle about it because I believe it's when you solve riddles that you really learn what's going on. So I think it's important to understand what was going on there. But I can't give you a full explanation today. I can just say that it saddens me. And, I don't think Bogle understands all there is to know about investing. And, so what? You know, who does? That doesn't bother me. But he surely knows that the type of tactics that were used to destroy the Vanguard Diehards board are wrong. He knows that. And he didn't act. And that tells me that passive investing is the most emotional investing approach of all. If it could paralyze John Bogle, either John Bogle's afraid of these abusive posters, which is, frightening to contemplate. If he's afraid of them, what do you think everybody else is? Or two, he just can't bring himself to taking action against people who are supporting his investing idea, the passive investing idea. Even when they are mocking another investing idea of his, which is rational investing. A lot of what John Bogle puts forward is rational investing. John Bogle says that valuations affect long-term returns. That's an iron law of investing, according to Bogle. So even when they are mocking his ideas, he can't stand up. What do you say? There was a guy, I don't remember his name, but there was a guy at the Vanguard Diehards board after the destruction of the board, every now and then they try to rebuild it. And Mel Lindauer always comes around to put the kibosh on it. but there was a guy who said, I'm going to write a letter to Vanguard. He says, because I have my money in Vanguard. And I don't follow this crazy, dogmatic, passive investing junk. And I don't think Vanguard supports it. And of course, he's right. The Vanguard diehards board should be open to anyone who's a diehard for the Vanguard fund company. And of course, what they're saying doesn't even support what Bogle says. Bogle is somewhere between, you know, his views are somewhere between Rob Bennett's views and Mel Lindauer's views. So this guy said, you know, I think Vanguard should know about this. That's the spirit. That's the spirit. Bogle should pick up the telephone, call the top guy at Morningstar and say, fix it. Fix it. I don't want... Vanguard is my company. I founded it. I don't want my name on this trash. I mean, come on. I wouldn't tolerate it. If I were in Bogle's shoes, I would not tolerate it. I'll leave it at that. Item number 28. There's something different about passive investing that doesn't apply with other investing strategies. What I had in mind here is that it was a thread at the... couple of threads at the Financial Webbring Forum. And there were some people there who liked technical analysis. Technical analysis is where you look at charts and you determine how to invest based on that. And charts, you're looking for patterns, you know, of how things have happened in the past. And I am not an advocate of technical analysis. I don't personally believe in it. But I'm not dogmatic about it. If there are people out there that want to make a case for technical analysis, more power to them. Maybe I'll learn something. Maybe I'm wrong. So, you know, I've been making this case that people should speak up in defense of their communities when their communities are under attack by abusive posters. So they started, some of these passive investing types were attacking these technical analysis people. And I said, well, if I'm going to tell people that, you know, they ought to speak up, well, I better speak up myself. So I spoke up in defense of the technical analysis people. And, it amazed me because there was somebody linked to an old thread where they had a poll. And this board is tilted heavily in favor of passive investing. You know, the owners allow any kind of abusive posting on behalf of passive investing and nothing, you know, on the other, you know, for the other strategies. And despite that, when they took a poll, it was more than 50% of the community who had at least an open mind toward technical analysis. There weren't that many that said they followed it, but there were a number that said, you know, they're okay with it or it might have value or something like that, some sort of neutral statement. Whereas the passive investing people, you know, were just, just dead set against even discussion. And, why is it there are people who can discuss technical analysis in a civil and reasonable way? There are people who can discuss Buffett's value investing in a civil and reasonable way. There are people who can discuss momentum investing in a civil and reasonable way. There are people who can discuss rational investing in a civil and reasonable way. But we can't have discussions of passive investing in a civil and reasonable way. Why? Why can't we challenge passive investing, point out the weaknesses, and then if there's anyone who can defend it, you know, let them go to it. Now, I know the answer today. I haven't always known the answer, but I eventually figured it out. What's going on is they can't defend it because there's nothing rational about it. It's just rooted in an emotion. It's rooted in the idea. The core reality of stock investing, if you look at the historical data, you see this. Stocks are a wonderful investment class, except at times of extremely high prices. Then you suffer a wipeout if you invest heavily in stocks. But, so the rational thing is obviously lower your allocation so you don't suffer such a wipeout. It's also plain and also simple. But emotionally, we love to invest in stocks when prices are out of control. We just love it. That's that get-rich-quick impulse. And passive investing is just a rationalization of that. That's all it is. The problem is, of course, people fall for it. You know, people who are very smart, and then they're embarrassed. They don't want to admit they fell for this emotional. When you fall for a purely emotional approach, you're in trouble because there's no reasoning out of it. There's no reasoning your way out of that box. You're stuck. The only thing that can change you is You have to suffer. I mean, I don't see any other way. You have to suffer losses. And at some point, you suffer so many losses, you say, I'll give up that emotion, My heart is broken, and I'll admit that I got some things wrong. I'll admit I made some mistakes. You'd like to think people could read words on a discussion board and correct their mistakes, but that's not always the way it works. Item 29. All arguments are on one side, and all anger on the other. Well, that's just sort of a funny way of putting a point that I made many times, so I'm going to continue on. Item number 30, Rob Arnott, his statement about academics. Rob Arnott, as I mentioned, editor of the Financial Analyst Journal, extremely smart guy, not a supporter of passive investing. Rob Arnott spoke, I mentioned how Taylor Larimore says, we've got the academics. That's what makes our approach so special. We don't have to listen to other viewpoints because we know we're right. We know we're right. How do we know? We've got science. We've got academic studies. Well, Rob Arnott was speaking at a conference where the people who write those academic studies were present, 200 of them in a room. And he says, I'd like a show of hands. How many of you believe in the efficient market theory? That's the intellectual groundwork for the passive investing model. Nobody raised their hand. Not one of them. They all would have been embarrassed to have their peers think that they believed in passive investing. Not one raised his hand. Follow-up question. How many of you are going to prepare research when you get back to your office on Monday, assuming that the efficient market theory is true? Nearly everybody raised their hand. So it's not hard to understand why there are a lot of studies supporting passive investing. The academics are turning them out like crazy. But that doesn't mean that the academics have confidence in the model on which these studies are based. The academics don't have confidence in their own work. Passive investing is popular. That's not the same thing as saying it's science. It's a very, 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 very different thing. Item 31. Failure to give recognition to academic studies going the other way. Well, again, I think I've mentioned this. Passive investing enthusiasts like to cite the fact that they have academic studies on their side, and it is a fact that there are many academic studies supporting the passive investing model. That is a fact. And if that impresses you, well, then you might want to go with passive investing because they've got a lot of studies. But there are a lot of studies going the other way. And this is one of the things that poster at the Vanguard Diehard Boards, Microlepsis, brought to my attention. When Microlepsis first used to make that point, I used to think he was overstating it. He'd say the academic research has shown, has rejected efficient market theory / passive investing in recent decades. And I thought, maybe there's a few studies. He must be overstating it. But no, here's an article, some excerpts from an article by Joseph Picerno. That I found a few months ago. The first article was entitled "Back to the Future Again: The Financial Literature Now Favors Active Asset Allocation, But It's Still Risky." Excerpt: "The conviction is supported by a growing body of academic research that has been piling up empirical evidence on the side of dynamic strategies. Dynamic is the opposite of passive. A crucial finding: security markets appear to be at least partially predictable after all." How many times have you heard from passive investing enthusiasts that market timing doesn't work? Well, if markets are predictable, market timing works. Security markets appear to be at least partially predictable after all. The intellectual evolution that now favors active asset allocation conflicts with the random walk theory, a particular version of the efficient market hypothesis. So, we have an intellectual evolution that now favors active, not passive, asset allocation strategies. The message is periodically repeated, often to deaf ears. Well, that's true, but whose fault is that? Is that the fault of the investors? Or is that the fault of the experts who don't explain that what we have discovered in the academic literature in recent years? It's true that many investors respond with deaf ears, but the problem is they've heard this passive investing idea so many times that they're sort of immune to hearing the other side, that they need to have their questions answered. They need to have a free and open debate to bring them around over time. People don't change their minds on something like this overnight. They need to hear discussions. The other article, Rethinking Modern Portfolio Theory. Modern Portfolio Theory is just another branch of the same school of thought, the passive investing, efficient market school. While the academic interpretation of MPT has changed, the popular perception remains stuck in the 1960s and 1970s. What he's saying is that what Taylor Larimore says today in 2008, that the academic literature supports passive investing, was true in the 1960s and 1970s. But that was a long time ago. He needs to be brought up to date. And in order to be brought up to date, he needs to allow honest posting at his discussion board. Recognized or not, there's been a slow but steady accumulation of empirical research since the 1980s that's altered financial economist view of the capital markets. The early readings of modern portfolio theory conveniently overlooked such observations, but the truth has a way of emerging eventually. Indeed, a new generation of researchers took a fresh look at the random walk in the 1980s and 1990s, and the accumulating tide of studies began to turn the academic tide. Although academics are latecomers to the party, the fact that they've arrived only adds more credibility to what Graham taught. Valuation matters. See, all the studies are not on one side. There are a lot of studies that support common sense, that support a common sense approach to investing. We just don't hear about them because passive investing is so intensely emotional that the people who are dogmatic about it can't bear to have these studies discussed. Scott Burns said, when he was talking about the old school safe withdrawal rate studies, you know, why haven't we heard about these new school studies? Scott Burns said, we haven't heard much about it because, quote, it is information most people don't want to hear. Well, why don't they want to hear it? They don't want to hear it because they've heard so much about passive investing that they've come to believe there's some truth to it. And the academic research is showing otherwise and has been showing otherwise for decades now. This is my big deal. Lots of people are clearly saying this. It's not just Rob Bennett saying that passive investing is discredited, but they don't use words like discredited. They use these sort of, you know, wiggle words. And I just say flat out, I don't mind if there are people who believe in passive investing. That's just fine. That's part of the game. But I say, I believe it is discredited. I believe it has failed. I believe it is dangerous. That's honestly what I believe. And if I'm going to post on the discussion board, I should post honestly. I should not be asked to say things I do not believe. And only when everyone in the community is posting honestly can a discussion board achieve its potential. Only when everyone's trying their best to explain things to the best of their ability and can people hear all sides and figure out the true story. So I have not only a right to post honestly, I have a responsibility to do so. I am letting the board community down when I fail to do so. And that's true of all the other posters who have doubts about passive investing, and it's a big number. But all of these people have been silenced, or they state their views in such timid, tentative ways that no one can make sense out of them. No one can understand the case against passive investing when people say, well, passive investing is wonderful and it's all right and I know it's perfect and it's pure science, but oh, I had a dream one time where I had a little bit of doubt, but then when I woke up, I knew different. I knew that I wanted to go with a scientific right approach. Is it okay for me to say that? That doesn't cut the mustard. That doesn't persuade anybody. That's a joke, a sick joke. My vision of the future of investing is a future in which all investors say what they believe. And they air their ideas, and that's how we learn. That's called learning together. And not everyone's going to agree. There's never going to be a world in which no one agrees with passive investing. That's not going to happen. But, you know, so what? But I do think we can have a world where people challenge passive investing, and where people who want to learn more effective strategies have the ability to do so by participating in discussions of, you know, of the realities, the pros and cons. All right. Number 32, the fact that there are no exceptions in the historical record. You know, I mentioned this point. It hits me very hard that there are only three times when stock prices have gotten to extremely overvalued levels. And on each of those three times, we have suffered bone-crushing losses in the aftermath. I don't think it's coincidence. I think we're in the process of seeing it happen again. I believe we're living through the biggest loss of middle-class wealth in the history of the United States. There are no exceptions in the historical record. People don't know that. You go to a discussion board and you mention that on the three times we've gone to these absurdly high valuation levels that we've been at in recent years, that the average price drop has been 68%, and people don't know what to say. They've never heard such a thing. It's in Robert Shiller's book, Yale professor, best-selling book. All of the people advocating passive investing should know about it if they follow the literature. The book's been out for years. It's no secret. Why don't people know about it? Why doesn't it get written up? You know, it gets written up. It gets buried in some article. Why doesn't it get written up in headlines? Why aren't the implications explored in depth so that people can learn, so that our knowledge of how investing works can advance? Item 33, the failure to adopt PE10 as the standard valuation assessment tool. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this one. I'll do a separate podcast on PE10 at some point. But if you're going to change your allocation based on valuations, you need to have a tool that measures valuations effectively. And the standard measure of valuations is PE1. That's the price earnings ratio. And it doesn't work. It works sometimes. It's a flawed tool. It doesn't always work. PE10 is much more effective. And, you know, Robert Shiller uses PE10. Benjamin Graham recommended PE10 back in the 1930s. So people who study valuations use tools other than PE1. They use tools that work. And Shiller can explain why PE1 often does not work. And you can read articles at the website about that. But when the Vanguard Diehards Board was destroyed, the next meeting, someone asked Bogle a question about valuations, and I'm sure it's because of the issues I had brought to the table. You know, these issues were discussed. They were the dominant focus of discussion for 2 years. So somebody brought it to Bogle without mentioning my name. They just said, you know, what do you think of valuations today? Because it was on everyone's mind. And Bogle cited PE1, and he said, the valuation level isn't that bad today. Now, there was things he said that were good. He said you need to make changes every 10 years or so, which is exactly right. That's what valuation-informed indexing is. You make a change in your allocation every 10 years or so. So Bogle endorsed that element of valuation-informed indexing without calling it by name. But he used PE1 to reassure people about valuations, and PE1 is a flawed tool. Now, why doesn't Bogle know to use PE10? Or if Bogle doesn't believe in PE10, why doesn't he make a case against it? Why doesn't he say why he's using PE1, even though it's been discredited by the people who care about valuations? I can't answer that question, but I have a theory. I believe, you know, passive investing is the dominant model today. And PE10, when you use it, it conforms with what your common sense tells you. So it's very powerful. You can create these tools using PE10, and all of the stock market history starts to make sense. And you know, you start to have confidence in your strategies. And what we all should want that. We all should want to make sense out of stock investing. But if you're a passive investor, you don't want that, because you've got this emotional attachment to a theory that doesn't make sense. And if you start making sense, it's going to undermine your confidence in passive investing. Well, that's just what I want to see happen. That's why I favor use of PE10. But Bogle doesn't use PE10. He uses PE1. I wonder why, you know. I don't think Bogle wants to know. I think Bogle knows. He's too smart not to know that there are holes in this passive investing model. And he's got an emotional reluctance to learn. He doesn't want to learn anymore. So, you know, he retreats to the use of PE1 because it you know, it generates these pat answers that sort of, you know, let his mind off the hook. Ah, this is why passive investing is such a trap. You go down this emotional road and you can't get out of it. You can't get your way back to where you can use your human reason to invest effectively. Item 34, alarm bell number 34, the common response of silence to important points. I put up lots and lots of articles at my website. Some of the dogmatic passive investors, you know, comment on them. They never comment on the meat. Almost never. Really, almost never. They find some little point, you know, that has little to do with anything, and they engage in deception on that half the time, and the other half they just talk nonsense or gibberish. But you rarely see the dogmatic passive investors engage in an argument, you know, with a sense of fair play, with a sense of trying to learn. And you know, I allow passive investing advocates to post at my blog. I always, you know, I welcome them. I tell them so. I say, thanks for coming here. I say, we don't agree, but I like to have people reading my blog read the other side, because, you know, and I want to learn. I make mistakes. I've probably got things wrong at my website today. If God were to come down from heaven and look at my website, he could point out the errors. And so, you know, I don't have a direct line to God, so I can't use that technique, but I can invite people who disagree with me to look over my stuff, and that's how I can learn. But you sure don't get the feeling that the passive investing dogmatists want to take things in that direction. And that's a sign that the model that they are basing their strategies on is an emotional model. Item number 35 is just the combined effect of all these. That's the killer. You know, I've got 35 alarm bells here. These are the things that, as I discovered these things, I became more and more and more dubious about the passive investing model. Well, it's not one of these things that causes you to become such a harsh critic of the passive investing model. It's the combined power. It's one item followed by a second, a third, a fourth, a fifth. And at a certain point, you just say, whoa. You know, now, most middle-class investors don't have time to do this sort of in-depth study. I don't have time to do it myself, but I've sort of been, you know, forced by circumstances to do so, whether I have time or not. If you study it, I believe that you will find that passive investing does not stand up to scrutiny. That's, you know, that's the promise I'll make to you. If you study it, I believe you will find that. If you don't, I hope you'll come to my blog and offer some comments in favor of passive investing if your study tells you that. I hope we can learn together. But as for me, I'm going to continue to tell it the way I see it. The way I see it is that passive investing is the most emotional investing approach of all. Good luck with your investing strategies. You take care.